You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. We want to hear from some of the quarterbacks. We also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. If the combine has shifted your thinking about what the Browns should do at the number 4 overall pick, or if it's made you more resolute in your decision, you can hit us up there. Tweet the show at Browns_daily. But wanted to hear from the quarterbacks here that were at the combine. And we'll start with my favorite. Why not? Teddy Bridgewater. Talking about believing that he is the best quarterback at the combine.
Oh, yes, no doubt. I feel that I'm the best quarterback in this draft. And I'm not just going to sit up here and just say it. There's obviously actions that have to back up these words. And, you know, I'm just confident in myself and my capability of just to be able to play this position. And I'm just going to go out there and prove that I'm the best guy.
Yeah, and he'll get that opportunity. He's elected to do so at Louisville's Pro Day. You know, a problem that I had with that decision was, for his sake, more is better. I think, given that if you've got almost no questions about you, then okay, then you could say, well, anything I do can and will be used against me, and the chances are I hurt myself a little more. I don't think he would have hurt himself to go out there. Like you said, Nathan, that's the setting where he would thrive, because right. He's just going to look good throwing a football. That's all it is.
And he's going to get to do it at his pro day. Yeah, yeah. It makes you wonder what the point of this whole process is, right? Why is there a combine? Then there's the pro days, and guys can elect to not work out at the combine and only work out at their pro day. And at some point, I wonder if they're going to – I almost feel like they should make it, unless you're injured, which guys are going to then fake injuries. Right. But you should have to throw.
I agree. I think it should be mandatory. I want to make that case, and, you know, looking back on our top five, I probably should have included that. But it's just another random thought here is, and I thought about it the whole week, that this has become such a large event. And Whatever, you could say, well, that's not the reason you do it. But it is. I mean, the eyeballs that it gets on NFL Network, the exclusive video carry of it, but the rest of us, you know, the eyeballs and attention on ClevelandBrowns.com, the shows we did there, the shows that other stations from around the country and NFL media markets were there, the hundreds, almost 1,000-plus or so reporters that were there, ESPN, everybody, shows emanating from there. It's a big deal in the NFL calendar, and recognized as such. It's a showcase event, and why not showcase yourself? But I'm talking about if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't become the top pick of the draft and Bortles is, if it's a quarterback there and it's not Bridgewater, I say that part of what might have worked against them was not doing this, because Bortles gets a second chance conceivably, and if he just does the same thing, he just builds on himself. Here's Bridgewater. Had he done this, who knows what the narrative would have been today? I know what the narrative would have been from you. I watched this guy and he blew it out of the water. You wouldn't want to hear one negative thought about him. But now the negative conversation, if there is one, and I'm not suggesting it's a heavy one, but it's a lingering thing that just kind of gets to linger until Teddy gets out there on his pro day at Louisville and puts at least most of it or some of it to rest.
And why do you think the agents are encouraging? That's who's encouraging them to do it. It's not like Teddy Bridgewater saying, I don't want to throw at the combine. His agent saying, you should.
Great point. I think some of it is driven by, and I'm not positive who represents him, but the majority of agents who've done this for a while, who usually get the quarterbacks, stick to what has been like a tried and tested approach. In their mind, they can't cite an instance where a guy who is projected to be the top pick or top two or three pick of the draft as a QB hurt himself by not throwing, that the teams won't hold it against the guy, even though it's not liked. I see it as not so much you're going to be graded down because you didn't throw, but how much more you could be graded up because you threw. That's really where I'm coming from, a place of sort of positivity, if that's the right way to put it. But, the agents say perfect conditions, Nathan. They want those. The on-campus, he'll have his receivers. He'll be in his comfort zone. He'll have slept in his own bed before then, or at least one on campus that he knows of, and versus the whole setting of doing it in Indianapolis, the hotel schedule. They keep these guys up really late with interviews, the club interviews. The schedule on that, I mean, I would see guys coming out, emerging from those that I saw sometimes when I was staying up late too. 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. And I, hey, where you been? Or they're coming into the hotel lobby. Oh, we've been doing interviews all day. Like we started this morning, we've been doing them. Wow. You know, and it just reminds you. But that's done intentionally. They want these guys, players, to feel the pressure of the existence of the NFL, that they're pushing them. They want them off their game. They want them doing long, hard hours of doing this. It's no longer college, buddy. It's not, you know, sweetness and light. This is the NFL. And then they want to see how they, when they get them in those meetings, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and this guy's been up since 6 a.m.
Answering the same questions.
Answer a lot of same questions. What's his demeanor like? Okay, it's the fourth quarter theory. You know, how you holding up? Blake Bortles, talking about the fact that he is viewed, again, among the top three, the Central Florida quarterback, he was the one that the question was, does he really belong among the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, of this NFL draft class? This is what he had to say.
I believe that I can, you know, compete with any guy here. And, you know, that's why I'm doing everything I'm doing. That's why I'm throwing, that's why I'm running, doing all this stuff. You know, why wait till pro day when you have an opportunity to make your first impression here in Indianapolis? You know, grew up watching this as a kid and dreamed of competing in it. Why would I sit anything out and do any of that kind of stuff? So just excited to be here and honored to be here, but definitely believe I belong here.
And those are little shots at the people that are not throwing at the pro day.
A little bit.
At the combine, I mean. And to me, listen, if I'm Teddy Bridgewater and I'm Johnny Manziel and I'm being advised that I can't help myself at the combine, I get it. Blake Bortles, I think, was the one who maybe needed the most help at the combine and came through and did a very good job. And also was helped by the fact that they weren't throwing. So compared to everybody else that was out there, there just really was that big of a difference between them. I thought AJ McCarron threw the ball well, but in terms of he's not on that level. He's not there with those guys, and you could see that.
A real quick thing about McCarron? I just before I forget this thought. Watching him, a couple of things. I thought he was bigger than I thought he would be physically. Not entirely sure if what kind of shape he was in. I thought he was just
a little soft.
He was soft. There was a little belly showing there for an athlete, college athlete, Alabama. I don't know. But he did not show up, and I heard others comment on it. So I said, are my eyes playing tricks on me? Because and I don't know if he went to a little bigger size T-shirt, so it was a little looser fitting. But when it kind of wrapped around, I said, that's not the kind of body you want to see from an athlete. Number two, when he threw the ball out there, he had what Mike Pettine was describing at times, like the big ball. The ball would wobble. The ball would move, you know, wouldn't travel with great, great velocity. I thought he had to step in a little more into his throws, again, clearly, than Bortles did. So,
No. He's not in the same category. And I think that helped Bortles to show those guys. I think, you know, when you think about a guy like Teddy, if you watch his games, you are already blown away by his accuracy. You're blown away by his footwork. Yeah. You're blown away by his third down passing. When teams knew he was going to pass, he was actually at his best third down passer in the league. It'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. But probably the biggest story in terms of a transformation of personality has been Johnny Football. And he talked about how his college days are behind him.
I believe whenever I decided to make this decision to turn professional, that it was a time to really put my college years in the past, and this is a job now. There's guys, families, guys, coaches, families, and jobs, and all kinds of things on the line. So,
Johnny Manziel was probably the smoothest, most polished of anybody in that setting. I heard a couple of people say, didn't he look or sound a little nervous to you? I said, well, as much as a young kid could with that large an audience in front of him, but and getting bombarded with questions, but he stayed right to it. He had his talking points down. His handlers, his marketers, who have, I think, done a brilliant job with him, they started this whole reinvention of Johnny Manziel process a couple of weeks ago, where they had just two reporters sit down with him, one from the Houston Chronicle, John McClain, one from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Shereen Williams, sat with him in California where he's working out, and spent time, and he's trying to deliver that message that I'm not the guy you think I am coming into the NFL. I could be great, but there are those who say, you know, A, what kind of a teammate would he be, and B, how will he handle things that go badly, because they always do in this game, and they especially do for rookie quarterbacks if they're out there playing. They have those rough times, and if those rough times happen early enough, you know, how are you dealing with it? Are you taking accountability, or are you passing the buck? Are you blaming somebody else?
What did you think of Blake Bortles' comments that he's not a finished product and he's not even sure if he's ready to play day one?
I love that.
You do?
Yes, because it's honesty for a guy. I don't think it reflected a lack of confidence at all in my mind. I think he's prepared to do what a rookie quarterback tends to do, and that is, hey, if I'm not ready at the beginning and I've got more development because I came out of Central Florida, I'm maybe not the guy who had the same level of competition or consistency of playing at that level as in my body of work that other quarterbacks in this draft have had.
Sure.
So I'm being honest about it. And his coach, you know, he's heard that from his coach, George O'Leary. I think there's a little bit of parroting of that going on. I think the kid's just leaving himself. What I felt from him was very organic. I think he sees it all, but I don't also see a guy, if your question implies, would he cower a little bit or blink at the opportunity that was put in front of him because it would be too big for him? I don't sense that he's that guy.
Well, I just find it interesting because with the sense that I get, and you certainly got it, if you're just joining us, said it at the beginning of the show, was that Blake Bortles is right now, if you were going to bet on the favorite to be the number one overall pick, it's Blake Bortles going to Houston. And when you look at, if you were to go to Jacksonville, yeah, they say I'll have Gabbard or Henny, somebody that could start in front of him if need be. If he came to the Browns, you got Brian Hoyer who could. If he goes to Houston, number one overall, he's starting.
He's playing.
Case Keenum is not starting while they just drafted this guy number one overall.
You would have the hardest time as an organization making that sale, not only to your fan base, to your owner. I mean, I know Bob McNair so far has decided to let Bill O'Brien, the head coach, the new head coach, Rick Smith, the general manager, run their show, do their thing. But he's making an investment in a top overall pick at quarterback. He's going to look at those guys saying, so, when are we seeing him out there? When is he playing?
Right.
You know, Bob, we're going to, you know, hold off and let's see what happens in the preseason. Uh-huh. You know, that'll be a hard sell. So, yeah, you make a great point with it. All right, Gerard Cherry. We'll get his combine thoughts from a weekend of combine on-field activity to hear what he has to say regular with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He is the Nate Dogg, and I'm Vic Carucci.
The Notorious.
And this is ESPN 850. Why am I whispering?
I don't know.
But I just feel like it. WKNR.
But when she says, baby.